are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
Welcome to the Guardians Fancast, Guardians Party Line, first Party Line edition of 2024. We have the Guardians Party Line here. We have Alyss. Alyss, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Great to be here for the season. We have Peyton. Peyton, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited.
And we have Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
You know, I really wish the team was still in Oakland based on what I've watched of them recently. But other than that, you know, really can't complain. Good start to the season.
And Greg's on mute, but he seems to be doing good. Greg, how are you?
Good.
Good. And Allie.
You know, I'm tired. I'm tired of all these West Coast trips. I can't do it. I wasn't built for it.
I saw somebody today on Twitter posted about the props to the West Coast girlies, or like the sports girlies that stay up for West Coast games. I guess I'm one of those. Alyss, tell us about Lake County's home opener. Oh, she's on mute. Sorry, Alyss, you're on mute. Oh my gosh, I forgot. Go ahead, Alyss, tell
us about it. It's been a long time since I've been on Zoom.
Yeah, I understand.
But yeah, the Lake County Captains are having their home opener this coming Friday, which is April 5th at 6:35. I will be delivering the ball to the umpires, so I'm very excited about that. And I'll be taking part in some other festivities during the home opener. Very excited. It's going to be freezing cold if they do play on that day. I'm still hoping it's that day, but the weather's not looking pretty.
Yeah, we're looking at a rain snow mix and a high of 39 degrees right now, and I will be in the press box working with my colleague Chuck, who will be scoring the game. I will not be visible. Do not look for me. You won't know what I look like. Don't look for me.
I'll be in a comfy, just not my Bills one that I'm wearing right now.
Everyone look for Mike.
Anyway. You won't find me. You don't know who I am, except for maybe Pat, if you're listening.
Alyss, I know you have stuff to do. Thanks for popping in and tell us about it. One way or another, eventually they'll have an opening day, and hopefully you can be there and take part.
Now I gotta go back to writing my short story because I am a creative writing major getting ready to graduate.
Good luck. Thanks for popping in. See you later. All right, well, everybody else, let's continue to talk about our Cleveland Guardians. We're 5 games into the season, so obviously we can draw a lot of conclusions, especially since the Guardians have played that perennial powerhouse, the Oakland Athletics, who are currently known for sending players down for wearing merchandise they don't like.
My goodness. Quincy, I wanted to let you know that I watched the Oakland Athletics yesterday against the Boston Red Sox, so you don't have to, and so no one else has to. And if you also did, because it was the free game of the day for Major League Baseball, I'm so sorry. That's not that I watch high A baseball a lot. And that was, I don't know what that team is right now. That like they had 5 errors in the first 3 innings. It was a sad, sorry state of affairs. So we've watched the Cleveland Guardians play 1 game against competition that looks remotely reasonable. And, you know, honestly, I think the team's been pretty spunky. They've been pretty, feisty. Where they would have gotten down before and maybe rolled over in the past, they're not. They don't seem to be doing that through 5 games. So that's been nice to see.
Yeah, I will say I was happy they handled Alex Wood well because he has tended to be the type of pitcher they struggle with. But I'm not saying that Alex Wood is good. That's for sure. I think Paul Blackburn's all right, but he really handled the Guardians very well. So that maybe isn't the best sign. Overall, though, the Guardians have been hitting the ball hard. they pretty much consistently have been hitting the ball hard. And as everybody kind of noticing on Twitter today, they're lifting the ball. I think if they do those things, they're gonna have a pretty good season.
Yeah, they might even have their first 30 home run outfielder since 1916. Shout out to Mike Petriello at Mike Petriello on the Bird app.
Hyperbole, but no doubt people. I'm sure there were a lot of angry people screaming, Albert Belmont, and that kind of thing. But anyway, the internet. Guys, what do you think? Some early conclusions. I'll throw one at you. I think overall I've been pretty happy with Stephen Vogt. I think maybe the one thing that I've seen is that he probably is leaning on guys in the bullpen who have experience, maybe more than guys who have like strikeout stuff in high leverage situations. But I don't feel like that's something I don't know. That's probably not even fair to say because he's been willing to go to Cade Smith and stuff. But there were a couple times that I felt like it wasn't maybe the ideal situation for Eli that he brought him in, Eli Morgan. Not Eli, who's on our podcast, who couldn't make it tonight because they don't have internet. But the Eli Morgan maybe. And that to me reminded me a lot of what managers in the majors do. Bring in the guys that have experience in those situations rather than the newer guys. But I think he seems like he's going to be pretty nimble to adjust to that, to say, maybe it's good to give Eli a clean inning. Same thing with Nick Sandlin. Oh, for gosh sakes, please don't bring Nick Sandlin in with guys on base. And I love me some Nick Sandlin, but that man, like any side armor, the control can disappear like that. And then you're like, oh, geez.
It's the heart attack. I don't feel more nervous than with anybody on our team than I do with him.
When he throws strikes, he is nasty. Like, he is very hard to hit. But when he's a little off, it's terrifying.
It feels like he's a little off more often than not, too. It's you never really know what you're going to get. When he's good, you're right. He can knock the bats out of your hand. It's just... Ooh, dear. When he's walking with the bases loaded, you got to make people beat you. It's very frustrating to watch him nibble or just not be able to command anything.
I should clarify. I actually am kind of fine with them bringing him in with a guy with guys on base in this situation. If it's first or even first and second with two outs and a right-hander at the plate and they can't pinch hit a left-hander or they won't pitch hit a left-hander, then I'm fine. Or one out even, because he can get a ground ball.
That's really specific, though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But
that's really what...
Yeah, he is. Otherwise, I'd like him to come out with a clean inning. He does have nasty stuff, though. I like Nick Sandlin, but it is interesting that the bullpen is going to be filling up, guys. I was thinking about that today because, of course, Alemán had a great first appearance in Columbus. His stuff just looks electric. You know, if you're thinking about maybe bringing him up in May, if he's continuing to dominate, Cade Smith, Tim Herron, he's looking good. Himothy, he's looking good there.
Sorry, Himothy?
He was the original Himothy.
I mean, I thought Tim Herron was Himmy Terran.
I think he was
acceptable to be Himothy. I think it was him's father. I said Stephen Kwan. It was a Kwanism.
Yeah, it was. Yep. So anyway, hopefully Sam Hinches will be healthy here before too long. That bullpen's starting to fill up. Hunter Gaddis looks amazing. Yeah.
I was about to say we forgot to mention Judge Judy.
Oh yeah. Okay, remind me. Is it Tyler Beatty or Tyler Beede? It's Tyler Beatty, right?
Beatty,
yeah. I keep doubting myself, even though I've heard him say it now several times. So Tyler Beatty, I wonder if they are thinking that he can start or if they're looking at him now as a reliever. That's going to be interesting to figure out, too, because Ben Lively is going to start his rehab assignment, and you'd think they want one of these guys to be stretched out, but they don't have options, so how can they do that?
You know, I'm not here to solve the riddle of Chris Antonetti's roster construction. We tried that once and it went, we did okay, actually.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't know. I think they need one of these guys to be stretched out in the interim while Xavier Curry and Ben Lively are getting back into game shape. So however long that takes, I do think you need Beattie to be able to go a couple innings, maybe even three innings. I have no idea what they want to do in terms of if they're thinking about maybe they.
Is that me? Oh, that was Mike. Mike is frozen. Somebody else needs to jump in. Peyton, what are your thoughts about the early Cleveland Guardians? Sorry, Mike, you froze for a second.
That's okay. I hope it didn't ruin the audio.
No, you're okay. Go ahead, Peyton. Tell us what you've been thinking.
So, I mean, I've been impressed, obviously, with Freeman. I think we all didn't know exactly what we were getting here. We all, of course, hope for the best. But he's definitely a market improvement over Straw in every sense of the word, I think. In terms of just hitting and consistency and just being a more consistent threat in general. Obviously, I think we're all impressed with how Bieber's looked and hoping that continues. I feel like it'll be interesting to see how the season goes, especially if the rotation carries its weight. Obviously, Tristan last night was worrisome. I'm sure we're all going to be talking about that. And what we think is going on there.
You've covered a lot of good stuff. Yeah, how exciting it's been to see Tyler Freeman just take to center field like he has. Mm-hmm. That's great. Hit a home run already. He says as many home runs from our center field position as Straw did in 2 years, and he's had five games.
Crazy, isn't it?
I don't want to think any more about the home run output of Miles Straw.
Is this like speaking ill of the dead, speaking ill of the wavered?
Speaking ill of the AAA Columbus starting center fielder?
He's such an amazing guy. I hope that it all works out. I hope he goes down there and figures out how to steal bases. Yeah,
I mean,
there's going to be times.
I keep saying Eli and I are going to roll out the welcome wagon for him.
That's great. You should. There's definitely going to be times where balls are going to fall for hits that will be like, Straw would have got that one. Absolutely. But I also suspect there's going to be times where Tyler Freeman hits the snot out of the ball and we say, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that from center field for a while.
I think we've already had a few of those instances. Yep. And then you kind of intersperse that with, I feel like Miles Straw would probably tell you, but he's mad, but like he probably expected himself to be a better player than he's been offensively. And, you know, I think you understand the consequences. Like, I hear a lot of sympathy and maybe even a little pity for Miles Straw. Now, the man is a professional baseball player. I'm sure he's as competitive as they come. He knows he lost this job. And he knows if he's going to be worth his salt, he's going to go dust himself off and go get that job right back. He's not out of the picture.
Right.
And I'd like to see him take that step.
And if he doesn't get the job back in Cleveland but shows that he's able to do what he used to be able to do, somebody will want him at some point, even if it's like towards the end of this year,
So the front office hopes.
Yeah. Yeah. Allie, do you have any early Guardians thoughts for us?
I'm happy to see that they did what they were supposed to do against Oakland. It was Oakland. So I am afraid to draw any sweeping conclusions. And then I found the first game against Seattle to be really quite frustrating. You know me, I'm a big hater of Stephen Kwan swinging really early in counts. And I feel like he did that. And then those only two runs we scored early on probably shouldn't have been there. And I just didn't enjoy the approach in that game. So I'm hoping we can come bounce back and win tonight so that I can feel okay about our ability to beat real Major League Baseball teams.
I will definitely say that everything you said there is more than justified. I'll definitely say that, you know, even going back through yesterday and looking at game day and Baseball Savant, the Guardians really were hitting the snot out of the ball all game. So that was good to see. A lot of the stuff didn't fall. Julio Rodriguez was Julio Rodriguez in several situations. But that's good to see. And that's the kind of thing, if you just keep continuing to do that, you're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Emerson Hancock isn't a Cy Young winner, but he's a very good young pitcher with some good stuff. So hopefully if they can do that tonight, like even if they lose tonight, which I hope they don't, obviously hope they win. You know, if they lose tonight, but are hitting the ball hard against Luis Castillo, I'm going to feel pretty darn good about him.
Yeah. I think Castillo had a little bit of a rough opening this year as well. I think his ERA is 7.20, which, I mean, I think he threw 4 or 5 innings. So I don't know if the stuff was down or what, but he threw 200 innings last year. You know, one of those possible candidates for regression. I'd like to see them put good approaches together. They did pretty well against him when he was with the Reds. So yeah. It would be nice to see them kind of take mature at bats. And they felt like they got out in the second and third pitch a whole lot in the first couple innings of the last game. And that maybe was why it took a little while to get rolling.
Yeah, unfortunately, yesterday a lot of and we're talking, obviously, this will be released on Wednesday morning, the 3rd, but we're talking about April 1st game, the first game against Seattle, just to make sure everybody knows. But, you know, I thought a lot of it was sequencing, too. Like, Josh Naylor hits a 438-foot home run, and it's a solo home run, and he swings and tops a slider when he had two guys on base and could have made it a 5-run inning. Like, and Tyler Freeman's home run was a solo home run. Like, that's just how baseball goes sometimes. Allie, I wanted to come back to the idea of Stephen Kwan. Yes, this will be a continuing thing to monitor, that Allie is a hater of Stephen Kwan going away from his 2022 approach, which he did somewhat in 2023. And I hate to tell you this, Allie, everything that I'm reading and seeing leads me to believe that Kwan is leaning even more into trying to sell out a little bit more for power. And I think we're all going to discover probably by around July if that's worth it or not. And hopefully at that point he can adjust back to what he used to do if need be. But I think we better be ready to ride it out till July, because I really do think he's kind of leaning into it. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
If it works, I'll take it. But I feel like it hasn't. And I remember at some point mid-season last year, John Boy did a breakdown of the hitters who swing at the first pitch the most and how well they did with it. And I don't think Kwan was in the list of swinging early more than other players, but I think, if I remember correctly, he was the worst. Like, the worst hitter in baseball when he swings at the first pitch. And he's not a bad hitter, so for him to be the worst at anything is, like, not great, in my opinion. And I might be remembering these details all wrong, but I remember hearing that and feeling so validated. And if Kwan wants to hit for more power and he wants to try this new approach, that's great. He should do that. It needs to work, or I'll be upset.
I think it's fair to also mention that he was one of the very rarest people to swing at the first pitch. So it was an inherently incredibly small sample size for success or failure. And the guy doesn't make a lot of hard contact. So if it's a situation where you're not making a lot of hard contact, your quality of contact on the first pitch is going to be not great quality of contact, almost always.
I do think him leaning into it a little bit is probably also, as we noticed from a couple different articles, that everybody was playing him in and continuing to play him in further. So I do think that it probably makes sense to try to see if you can make him pay, so to speak, a little bit, so that guys have to respect you a little bit more. But I think it's open for debate. I think, eventually you get to July, get to the All-Star break or so, and if things are not going right, if he's hanging around that league average mark instead of a little bit above, might be time to say, Kwan, you're a blooper, man. Go opposite field, try to make it work.
So I think that's all on the table. I don't think any of that is forsaken for taking a more aggressive approach, even for the first 100 games of the season. And that's because at some point, as a Major League Baseball hitter, you have to adjust to what people are doing to you. Stephen Kwan saw a very high rate of first pitch strikes. He saw a very high rate of first pitch fastballs for strikes. And he saw that basically no one was afraid to challenge him, much like Miles Straw. if he's capable of doing damage, you want him to try to do damage and slug. It sets up your team very well. He's leading off the game. And he's the only guy who's guaranteed to get that lead off. So I think that all those things considered, you know, try to punch back. Now, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You go ahead and adjust back. But if it does work, then you're going to see teams start shying away. You're going to get those more patient at bats because they're not going to fill up that zone on the first pitch, first pitcher too.
Well, and let's not forget too, that he's also one of the worst hitters as far as getting calls on borderline calls. So right. if guys are throwing you strikes and you're not going to get any calls from the ump, probably a good idea to be aggressive.
Offer at the ones you get.
Exactly.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Greg. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, these guys all know more about hitting than any of us do, I suppose. But it is always fair to question and say, I wonder how that'll turn out. And it'll be up in the air to see. This is something that I've been kind of sold on since I spent, I don't know, a couple weeks in January really like looking at a bunch of different things about the shortstops. It's been good to see Brian Rocchio have some success. Even there was a good game for Arias where he had a good hit against the lefty too. But man, I just am still convinced that the long-term solution is Juan Brito at second base and Andrés Giménez at shortstop. Just every day, I just become more and more convinced of that. But anyway, any thoughts about what we've seen from our shortstops as we begin the season?
Build the whole team out of them.
Go ahead,
Allie, sorry.
One small little comment, and this is very nitpicky because it's one play that we'll probably never see again, but that suicide squeeze or whatever squeeze bunt play with Arias and Bo that failed, there's a part of me that's like, if you don't trust Arias to swing the bat right there, aren't there like eight other shortstops who might be able to? And I don't know if that was just a cute little, let's see if we're able to do this since this game is same consequential, but it's not a game seven, you know. But that was kind of my thought there, is like, if there's any middle infielder in this lineup that you don't trust to hit, there's like five more waiting. So I thought that was odd, but also it's a tiny little play and doesn't matter that much.
Yeah,
but that was
it's interesting. I Quincy, if I could hop in, actually think that I trust Arias to swing the ball and hit the ball hard, swing the bat and hit the ball hard somewhere on the infield, probably a ground ball, whatever. I trust him least out of all of the infielders to lay the bunt down. So I do not know why he was the one who was asked to lay down a bunt. It was very strange.
Wouldn't his struggles with making contact come into play there? I mean, this is not like a high octane.
This is Danny Giménez. Yeah.
So I've been puzzling this out too. I think the thing for me, we could probably do a whole podcast about the attempted safety squeeze and everything that went wrong, a deep dive.
Went wrong.
Everything went wrong there. But I think there are two things that I like about the play. There are two things I like. One, I like being aggressive. Win big, risk big, win big. And a squeeze play is an aggressive play. It's not one I want to do every game. It's not one I want to do every month. But once every other month, I'm fine with it. And then the other thing I will say is that part of what makes the squeeze play successful is the element of surprise. So I kind of talked myself from the idea that maybe Arias bunting is part of it because teams wouldn't necessarily be as expectant of Arias to bunt as they would have like Tyler Freeman or Andrés Giménez. Like, he's a great bunter, shouldn't bunt, but in that situation he'd put down a bunt and you'd be fine. You'd get the safety squeeze that you want. So the almost surprise could be part of it. I think it's the wrong call because of the player, and it puts both him and Bo in a bad position, which you shouldn't do as a manager. But those are the two elements I could bring out of it to say, okay, I think I see some management logic behind it.
Yeah, there's an avenue to explaining it. I don't know if I like the explanation because I feel like with nobody out, especially, even a double play ball gets you a run. Like, your worst batted ball outcome gets you a run, most likely.
Yeah.
Except for like a pop up on the infield. Like,
I hate a sacrifice bunt almost all the time, but I do see something in a safety squeeze or a suicide squeeze where you immediately put pressure on the defense if you can do it, and you give yourself a shot to make. Like, I can see the logic in that. The question for me is about Arias, if he's the right choice to do that, which now, you know, we have the evidence, so he wasn't. And for a while there, I was telling the random reply guys on Twitter, well, we knew that from the beginning because Arias struggles to make contact. But on reflection, I was like, well, you know, there's the element of surprise, and I think I can give a little grace on that. So anyway,
I also think that, yeah. Thank you for saying putting pressure on the infield defense, because they, I don't know what they were doing. That was terrible infield defense.
Yeah, you could count on something going wrong when you put the ball in play. Go ahead, Peyton.
That's the part that kind of changes my mind a little bit. But like, the other thing I was thinking about is with Arias too, is like, not necessarily about Arias, but like, I would assume that if the squeeze wasn't on, that Bo might be going on contact. And Arias could easily also either A, roll one over, and then he's out at, Bo's out at home, or he hits it too hard and it's an easy ground out possibly to home plate. So like the likely outcomes for like Arias are still like, I think what Mike's saying with the double play is probably the best, if not most likely outcome that would have like worked in our favor, other than like maybe him striking out, and then at least you have Kwan coming up. But how likely was any success going to come with Gabby at the plate is a good question.
Yeah, and I think your point there kind of goes to doubts about Arias in general, and those are fair, and we've kind of worked with those. And while we're doing this, the game started, and Stephen Kwan gets a single on a sixth pitch of his at-bat, so a little more sample size for working the count, however that works. Other things I want to say, I mean, obviously the team is fun to root for. I enjoyed the other day when Logan Allen had an interview where he talked about how much they all love each other. That was great. I love it when those guys are open about, hey, I love these guys next to me. And that was nice. I enjoyed Paul Hoynes posting an article today about Andrés Giménez salsa dancing. Salsa being an incredibly intimate dance, and apparently it helps him be an effective infielder. So learning all kinds of things, learning what people say to their Uber drivers to distract them from asking about baseball. Those are all fun.
Are we leaving you hanging, Quincy? Sorry.
Yeah, apparently everybody's watching the game, and that was a bad time for me to pause. Your podcast, don't adjust your radio.
Like, got a hold of one, and it was foul. I'm like this.
The good
like,
old Jason Kipnis.
I saw a little expression on your face. Yeah, I saw somebody the other day. Of course, people are always doing this, saying, "Oh, Jose wrote a rough start to the year." He's been hitting the ball real hard. I think Jose's all right.
Yeah, the ball worked out,
but he's really been hitting the ball hard as he usually does. So, oh, he just struck out. I'm sure that person's freaking out right now.
Oh, he chased a pitch he shouldn't have.
It's showing up on game day as a strike.
He's not a.
It was right in the corner. Yeah, right in the corner. That's what it showed up on the TV. At least it looked like right.
Not my superstar.
If he
just yeah. darn good.
Yeah, just if the he... very bottom of the strike zone. But if it was he... also down. Yeah, I think Mike's right. He framed it. You could see he moved it up probably like a good few inches.
Oh no, Peyton! I am BSing. I don't have eyes on this.
He game. Was just Mike was just referencing folks.
I mean,
one famous.
It depends on whether like the thing was actually like showing where it was framed or where the pitch was caught.
Do we trust the box?
I'm just now caught up. It was a strike.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful slider, right? Corner knees. It was a beautiful slider.
Good pitch. It's Luis Castillo. That's what he can do to you.
And it looked middle. And to Jose's eyes, though, too, it probably looked middle, and then slid to the outside corner.
Yeah.
The down and in slider is the thing for him.
Yeah,
exactly. Really,
if you can throw that little slider down there, you can get Jose. Now, are we saying that's a good thing for Castillo? Because you can get Jose with that slider down. And then
it's sometimes. Like the to Jose, I think that's a pitch that he'll get out on a bit.
If you got it, throw that pitch. It might not always work. He might get to it sometimes, but that's
if you hang it, you're in trouble.
Yep. I would agree. Yeah. Well, hey guys, I hope you guys are going to enjoy the rest of the game. It's good to hear from everybody. Good to see that everybody had a nice off season, and here we are. We're ready to travel through another Guardian season with you folks. I think we'll have some other friends stop by throughout the year, and we'll get to hear everything that's going on. Today we didn't have Peyton checking out any items at the grocery store. I kind of missed that. I always enjoyed that. Beep, beep, beep. Oh boy. She definitely appreciate the priority that she put on being together with us all. And Peyton, you're going to be in town for the opening day. I hope that's okay. I can edit it out. That's not okay to say, but I was going to say that's awesome.
No, it's fine.
Okay. That's going to be great. So you get to meet a whole bunch of people, right?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. And I'm sure a lot of us are planning to be for there. I'm not going to be able to, but many people will be there for opening day and for the eclipse. Everybody, stay safe and have fun. So thanks for joining us.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.